Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to join with you in Hamilton Road Presbyterian this morning. Thank you to Christoph for his welcome to join you, join with you. I'm an elder in Carnmoney Presbyterian Church, but in my day job, I have the privilege of serving the wider Presbyterian Church, helping to oversee what's known as the Council for Mission in Ireland. Essentially, that's just the department of our wider church that seeks to help the church to look outwards, like we've already been hearing about in so many ways this morning. And whether that's in supporting congregations right across the island, particularly, maybe more specifically, through the home mission in the Republic of Ireland. I spent yesterday in Donegal, didn't get on a plane, didn't actually get to a beach or see any sheep either, but that's part of the role of getting to visit and encourage and support a lot of our different congregations right across the island, particularly in places where our witness as a church is much more sparse than in the likes of Bangor or Belfast and counties Antrim and Down as well. We also try to support church planting, new church development in all kinds of places where we lack a presence altogether, actually, from Balbriggan to Belfast and from Wexford as well, and in all kinds of places in between. We're also involved in supporting and overseeing mission projects. You've heard about one of those projects in terms of the international meeting point this morning. We've Friendship House in Sandy Row. We've the Carrigart Mission Project and the Buglass Centre in Donegal as well. And we also support chaplains who are doing and carrying out an incredibly valuable ministry in all kinds of places, in all spheres of our society, whether that's in universities, the rural community, in our forces, in healthcare, in prisons. And we also fund, through the United Appeal, a number of outreach workers and mission pioneers who serve in church plants and church projects in all kinds of ways across the island as well. And all of that I've just mentioned is funded or supported in various ways through the United Appeal, where each of the 500 congregations of the PCI are invited to give so that together as a church we can do things that maybe we can't simply just do on our own as well. And in our time together this morning, I want to try to do two things. I want to first offer you a glimpse into the mission of our church across this whole island, sharing stories and examples of how the Presbyterian Church are involved in mission at home here today and how this kind of funding is being used. But also, and perhaps more importantly, I want to reflect in our time together on a biblical picture of mission as we find it in the book of Acts, in the hope that there might be some lessons for us, both personally for us and also as a church. Before I do that, or as I do that, let me invite you to join me in a short prayer. Father God, we thank you for the Word of God, and we ask you that as we turn now to the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, you would help it to come alive in the hearts of the people of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whenever I was a child, one of my favorite, this makes me sound incredibly sad, I realize what I'm about to say, but one of my favorite tasks on a Saturday, or things that I got to do on a Saturday, was whenever I was able and invited to cut the grass with my dad, okay? Picture an 8, 9 or 10 year old boy who's sitting in the house, and his dad comes into the house and says, "Right, Rick, it's your turn now. Can you come and help me with cutting the grass?" I loved that job. I loved getting to help him to push the lawnmower. I felt responsible. I felt like I'd been asked to be involved in an important job. I emptied the grass cuttings, and now with hindsight, I realize that I probably made the job twice as long for him. He could have cut the grass totally fine without me. He would have probably done it in half the time. There would have been less grass cuttings left across the grass if he'd done it on his own. And it's only with hindsight that I realize that he didn't need me, but he wanted me to be with him. He wanted me to be with him in the task, in this important task. He wanted me to learn. He wanted me to share in what he was doing. And I think that is a picture of mission. I think that is a picture of what mission really is, because mission is joining God in what he is already doing and what he can do. What he can do without us. And yet he chooses to involve us, his people, his children, in the task alongside him, so that he might and we might share in that joy together, so that we might learn how he's at work in the world, so that we might grasp his heart as we come alongside him. You see, sometimes we talk about doing mission, don't we? We talk about even the church's mission as if it's something that we've created or we own or that it's down to us. But mission doesn't start with us. Mission begins with God, because he is the one who is at work in the world bringing healing and reconciliation and hope and salvation. And he invites us graciously to join him, to be part of it, to share in his work, not because he can't do it without us, but because he wants us to do it with him. That's the story of the book of Acts. The apostles joined God in his plan for the salvation of the whole world. And Christoph's already read that right at the outset, he gives this, I was going to say this invitation, but it's a commission, that they would be his witnesses and they would carry on his ministry that he had begun, but it wouldn't just unfold in their own little neighborhood or the city that they were in, but it would go and spread right throughout the region of Judea. It would go to the nearby region of Samaria, among whom that they might have considered many people to be their enemies and beyond the reach of God. And then it would reach to the very ends of the earth. And in the early chapters of Acts, that's what happens. The church grows in exciting ways. There's healings and there's conversions and there's growth in the church. But it all took place in one city. It all took place in one kind of center of Jerusalem. In other words, in the early chapters of Acts, it was a local story. It hadn't spread out. But at the start of Acts chapter 8, which was read for us this morning, opposition and persecution against the church becomes so great in Jerusalem that most of the believers are scattered from that city and they flee. And where do they flee to? They flee throughout the region of Judea and then on into Samaria. In other words, it wasn't a great strategic plan that helped to unfold the Great Commission. It was actually disruption and difficulty and opposition and persecution that becomes the very way that people in far-off places begin to hear the gospel. And that's what happens. Within a few verses, we find the Apostle Philip proclaiming Christ in where? In Samaria, with many Samaritans believing in Jesus. And that might have been something that surprised the apostles. They might not have associated the spreading of the gospel to happen in a place like Samaria. Verse 14 tells us that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. In other words, go and check out what's happening. Can this really be true? And it says that when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. God was doing a new thing. And within a chapter, the story goes from Jerusalem into Judea, throughout Samaria, and that is where we find Philip at the start of today's passage in verse 26, proclaiming Christ in Samaria and seeing many people come to faith. You see, the mission of God takes us to new places. It was true for Philip. In verse 26, an angel of the Lord tells him to go south to the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, a road that has been featured on our news heavily in recent years. It's a route that we've become familiar with, but look at Philip's response to this command in verse 27. Almost as a matter of fact, it simply says, so he started out. Here is Philip in a city in Samaria where many people are coming to faith. In other words, he's having a fruitful ministry. It's all going really well. He's speaking to crowds. People are being healed. And there's much joy in that city. What's not to like? And yet now Philip is being called by God to go to a new place. Away from the success of this exciting and thriving work in Samaria, and to go instead to a desolate desert. If I was Philip, I might have objected. God, I'm not sure about this plan. Don't you realize there's all this good stuff happening here? I'm not sure what is going to happen there. It doesn't look all that promising. It's just a desolate desert. But Philip wasn't like me because he trusted in God's plan and he submitted to the new places that God wanted him to go. You see, the mission of God should take us to new places, not simply just to remain where we are, but to spread out and to seek his blessing in other places too. And I wonder if we are open to that. If we're open to the ways that God might use us or where he might want to take us in our lives. It might not involve a plane. It might not involve standing behind a pulpit. It might not even require a change of postcode. But it might require a change of posture as we see everywhere where we find ourselves, every location where we're located, as an opportunity to serve God. What places and people might God want to bring us? You know here that that is the story of Donabate Presbyterian Church in North Dublin, who are the youngest Presbyterian congregation in the Republic of Ireland. They were only established themselves in 2011. Yet when they were only a few years old, they began to outgrow their building and they had to consider what to do. Should they find a bigger building? Should they start a second service? Well, they did none of those things. Because instead, through funding from the United Appeal, they employed an outreach worker, someone called Josh, who I think many of you know well. And they sent him away, not because they didn't like him anymore, but they sent him to the nearby town of Balbriggan to begin a kids club and then to begin a weekly Bible study. And then after time to sort of trial and experiment holding a worship service in a community center on a Sunday afternoon. And 6 years on, that's the scene behind me. Most Sunday afternoons in Balbriggan. A thriving, growing church plant there. You see, the mission of God took that church in Donabate to new places to see new opportunities. And in recent years, PCI have also been seeking to commence a new work in West Belfast. Now that, for many of you, probably isn't the first place that comes to mind whenever you think of Presbyterianism. There hasn't been a Presbyterian congregation in that part of the city for over 40 years. Yet 90,000 people live in that part of the city. You know, there are 60 Presbyterian congregations in Belfast. All of them are in the north, the south, and the east of the city. And so God laid it on the hearts of a few people and the Council for Mission in Ireland several years ago that that shouldn't be the case, that we needed to have a presence in that part of the city. And over the last few years, a work has been growing and developing there. It's small. It's fledgling. But just last month, weekly worship services resumed on the Falls Road after a gap of over 40 years. And this was the news article that went with it. Now, we didn't choose the headline. I would have picked a different one. But they say no news is good news. Or sorry, there's no such thing as bad publicity, isn't there? Some places to us might seem like a desolate road in a desert. But God draws his people to new places, often beyond cultural barriers, to be his kingdom witnesses. And you know, and I know, it's easy to stay comfortable, isn't it? Where we're to serve God in places where we're surrounded by others. But there may be places or areas or even churches who lack a thriving witness. And God often calls his people to cross boundaries in order to bring his good news there. What boundaries do we need to cross as we seek to serve God in his mission? But also we see here in this passage how the mission of God brings us to new people. You see that in Philip's story. Verse 27 tells us that he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch who was an important official in charge of all the treasury. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, the text says, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that God had gone ahead of Philip. It tells us that God was already at work in people, and he was at work in people that might have surprised Philip. In this case, a high-ranking royal official from a different land and of a different race. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, so he was aware of God. He wanted to be around the worship of God. But being a Gentile, it's quite probable that he wouldn't have made it beyond the outside courts of the temple to be able to worship God. So cultural practices were preventing this man and Philip from worshipping God together in the temple. But isn't it amazing how God enabled them to sit in a chariot together and read the scriptures? Cultural practice got in the way, but God, through his Spirit, brought them together to read his word in a chariot in a strange place. You see, when people, this was a clear demonstration that those who had once existed outside the family of God were now being invited in. When people heard the gospel in their own language in Acts chapter 2, it was a clear sign that the gospel was for all peoples. And now here, only a few chapters later, people like Ethiopian eunuchs, and a chapter or two's time, people like Roman centurions are coming to faith in Jesus. And that might have surprised some in the early church, but God was enabling the church to engage with new kinds of people who were open and hungry. You see, the people that God sends us to, they won't always look like us. They won't always speak like us. They may not think like us or even vote like us. But God may already be at work in their lives, and we are simply invited to come alongside them in the next stretch of the journey with them. I recently sat in the International Meeting Point in Belfast, where up to 100 people were participating in a course called Al Masira. It's like an alpha course, I guess, but more culturally close to where many of the people might be coming from. Bible studies are conducted there every week through a Farsi translator. And it struck me as I sat in that room that day, this is what people have prayed for. This is what people in Northern Ireland have prayed for many years, because I've heard the prayers. In the past, we couldn't send missionaries to certain countries, and many people prayed for opportunities to share the gospel in those places or with those people. God, would you open doors for us to share the gospel into these places and with these kinds of people? We prayed for it. And it struck me as I sat in the room that day that God sometimes answers prayers in unexpected ways. We have an opportunity to reach out to people from all kinds of backgrounds right on our doorstep. Last year, I visited our congregation in Galway, who in recent years have welcomed many new people into their congregation. It's a small enough congregation there, but over 20 nations are represented in that small congregation. And as I joined with them, shared with them in worship, it reminded me there's actually no such thing as a typical Presbyterian, is there? Because that's what our brothers and sisters look like in the west of Ireland. Every tribe and tongue. And through my role, I have observed how the church in this land has been enhanced and sustained through newcomers. Because as this land has increased in diversity, many people have actually brought with them their vibrant faith. Whisper it, but sometimes more vibrant than we have. And they've brought it to us. And they've enhanced our witness. If you're part of a Presbyterian congregation in the Republic of Ireland, it is almost a guarantee that you are simply part of a multinational congregation. It's just a fact. And if you read through the book of Acts, you will see how the movement of God's people, and the movement of people more generally, actually was not a threat to the gospel, but actually helped the spread of the gospel. God's mission involves reaching out to new kinds of people, regardless of cultural background. It brings us to new people. I wonder what people God might want to bring you to as a church or even as an individual disciple in the weeks ahead. But finally, I want us to see how the mission of God also and always brings new life. Where the mission of God is present, there is often new life. Look at verse 29, because there are a couple of important things to observe here. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Firstly, just notice how Philip was led. An angel spoke and the Spirit prompted him. In other words, there was no five-step strategy, but Philip simply listened and obeyed. And mission for us requires attentiveness, a heart that is open to the guidance of the Spirit, How attentive are we to the Spirit's leading and prompting in our life? You see, often it isn't about our grand plans, but small acts of obedience. Listening to the quiet nudge of the Spirit saying, go near that person. Stay close. Listen. Ask a question at lunchtime. Say something at the coffee break. Draw near to that person. Give them a call. Invite them to church. You see, we should notice here how the eunuch was already reading the scriptures, even before Philip got there. It wasn't that Philip arrived and suddenly he introduced him to the Bible. The eunuch was already opening and reading the scriptures. And that keeps us humble in our mission, doesn't it? In our church, we've just noticed over the last year that some people have been drawn to our church and they've already become Christians before they arrive at our church. That's happened in at least three occasions that I've observed. We can't take any credit for it. But God's been at work and he's drawn people to us. God's at work long before we get there. And that should encourage us as we encounter our neighbors or our family members or our work colleagues. God may already be at work in their lives in ways that we don't realize. Before we have an interaction, before we have the conversation, before we launch the mission project as the church, God's Spirit is at work in people's lives. And we should be expectant that there may be people within our communities who have begun to read the Word of God or watch random videos on TikTok about Christian belief before we get there. Recent research by the Bible Society has highlighted this. It revealed that Bible sales in the UK have risen by 87% in the last 5 years. And growth is largest among younger generations. And it reminds us that all kinds of people can turn to God's word. But notice here how the eunuch was reading God's word. That while he was reading God's word, he still needed someone to come and help him to understand it. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked, and the eunuch says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And that's the task of the church in mission. For the people of God to ask the Spirit of God to guide us to those open to growing in their understanding of the Word of God. And I've observed that happening in all kinds of places. The Bible is being studied, whether it's in churches running Bible studies in local hotels, PCI's rural chaplain opening the Bible with farmers at a market, whether it's Bibles being given out in prisons, you might hear about that tonight, whether it's in university campuses or people attending Bible studies in Farsi or the Falls Road or a loyalist area of South Belfast through the Village Project. One of our forces chaplains told me recently that they continue to run out of Bibles on their base, within the chapel in their base, because people continually, and this is within a Royal Marine training base, because people continue to take the Bibles and they run out. They have to replace them. In every single one of those places, there are people who have an interest in reading God's word. And our church is trying to enable people to come alongside them to read it. Who could we draw alongside to read the Bible with? To ask them if they understand it. To point them to the truth. Because it always brings new life. We see that for this eunuch, because as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This encounter with Philip changed this man's life, and it brought him not just salvation, but the joy of his salvation as he goes on his way rejoicing. And I've no doubt, as he goes on his way rejoicing, he shares the good news with others on his way. You see, this new life immediately becomes part of the mission of God. He visibly displays that in his life. You see, the workers are in the harvest. We often pray for more workers for the harvest, but the workers are also in the harvest, because when God brings new life, he also equips more people to join him in his mission. As a council, we support a number of congregations across Ireland, and we provide grants to employ additional workers to help them in their outreach. In the last year, we've been able to provide grants for congregations in Maynooth, in Cork, in Fermoy and Bray, enabling each of them to employ local outreach workers. There's Gavin in the bottom corner of the screen in Cork, Oisin in the bottom, the other corner in Fermoy, along with his wife. There's Gaia in Bray, don't have a photo of her yet. There's Laoulu in Maynooth. They're both so new in their roles. And they're all reaching out into their local communities, and that's how the United Appeal is supporting congregations elsewhere in Ireland. And it strikes me as I think about those four individuals, each of them are from different faith backgrounds. Not one of them was a Presbyterian growing up. Not one of them was actually from the town that they now serve in. Two of them not even from the nation. But God has changed each of their lives, drawn them to faith in Jesus, and he's placed them in particular areas of Ireland to serve him there. The workers are in the harvest. And the mission of God always brings us to new life. Let me finish with this story to sort of illustrate the new life that mission brings. 3 years ago, 4 years ago now actually, a sad decision was taken to close two Presbyterian churches in the southeast of Ireland. That doesn't sound like a good start to a story. Those churches have been a witness in those communities for years, but numbers had dwindled, leadership lacked, and it felt like defeat, if I'm honest. Actually, the first week in my role, I had to go, and I took on this role because I was really excited about the ways that God might, you know, be able to develop mission and new churches and new mission to be established. The first week of my role, I had to go and meet with the sort of remnant members of one of these congregations and basically sort of sit with them as we realized that it was all over. I came home and thought, this wasn't really why I signed up for this. But a few years on, another decision was made to call a minister to the town of Wexford, not because there's a congregation there, there wasn't, but to work with our support with the aim of planting a new church there in the years to come. And over the past year, a little Bible study group has formed in the manse there, week by week. And there's been some outreach initiatives. And just a few months ago, following a bit of a refurbishment of the old meeting house, as you can see, in recent months, weekly worship services have resumed there. I think there might be 20 there now as we worship. It's still in its infancy. There's no way those 20 people can afford to fund ministry. Through the support of the wider church and through a church planter and his wife serving God there, they're seeking to pray that the mission of God would breathe new life into not just a building, but into an entire town with 25,000 people living there. Across Ireland today, there are churches and outreach workers and chaplains and church planters and also everyday disciples of Jesus Christ like you and I, through whom new life, God is breathing new life to those beyond the church in all kinds of ways. New people, new places, new life. That's what the mission of God can do. And as we pray, I just want to pause for a moment and encourage you to reflect. Is there a person? Is there a place where God might want you to go, or to pray for, or to support? As we pray, just take a moment to reflect on that, to invite the Holy Spirit to impress something or someone or some place on you, for you, where you can serve God, where he might use you, where you could join him in his mission. And then I'll pray. Father God, we thank you that this mission is yours. We do not own it. It does not belong to us. But we thank you that the whole earth belongs to you and everything and everyone in it. Give us a glimpse and a taste of your heart for all people. show us the places and the people that you would wish us to reach. Help us to take your hand and join you in your great mission. The blessing of God to all peoples. Pointing people to Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the power of the Spirit of God, alive in the people of God. We ask for that today. We thank you for what you're doing in your church, through your church, beyond your church. We thank you for how you're at work in the world. Help us to see how we can be involved in that as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Let's stand and sing together.
Please be seated and let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would be our vision. We thank you that any mission in Ireland or in any other part of the world is first of all yours. And we thank you that in your kindness, you invite us to join in with you. Lord, we give thanks for all the ways in which you've worked over the years through our denomination, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. We thank you that whether the border's been hard or soft or hasn't existed at all, our church has been a church for the whole of our island. Lord, we thank you for Richard and Julie and their families serving in Donegal. We continue to pray for them as they've invited us to, that you'd be with them as they reach people there for Jesus. We pray for the young people in that congregation. Lord, I pray that you would maybe raise some of them up to be workers in that harvest field. Lord, we thank you for the work of the International Meeting Point over the years in South Belfast and more recently in the north of the city. Lord, we thank you for the many newcomers who have found a welcome there, for many who have come to faith in Jesus. And we thank you for the ways in which they're changing us, the things that they're teaching us about who you are. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done over the years, decades and centuries through the Home Mission and the current work of the Council for Mission in Ireland. We pray for Rick and all those who serve alongside him in the Council that you'd enable them to make the most of the missional opportunities of this moment. Lord, we thank you that we are sensing a growing openness. People are ready to come and have another look or a first look at Jesus and his church. Lord, we pray that you would move now by your Spirit and revive your church in this land. Lord, we pray for those serving in small congregations dotted throughout Ireland, and especially those known to us. Pray for Stephen Ray and Carlo and Athai, for Josh and Balbriggan, Michael Anderson and Arklow. Lord, we pray for others. We pray for stamina when the work is tiring, for encouragement when it's in short supply, and for joy in serving you, even when it's tough. Lord, we pray this morning for our church family that you'd enable us all for the work of mission in this city. Help our elders and our staff team and all the members of this congregation to continue to disciple people, to lead them to living faith in Jesus Christ, wherever you've placed us. Lord, we take a moment in the silence just to bring before you those known to us who need your love and your care. Father God, we thank you that you've heard our prayers for our land, for our church, and for our friends. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.